Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The 378th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Circus Sports. Circus Sports is back with their Circus Survivor and Circa Millions contests. $14 million are up for grabs. Get all the details at circusports.com.
Hi-ho, DeGenerinos, and welcome to episode 378 of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. The episodes are flying by. This one's going to go out to Thugger, one of our friends in the Discord. I don't think we've put a episode out to he or she. It's a he. Who am I kidding? We don't have any women listening to us or talking to us in the Discord, but Thugger had a good weekend playing the UFC fights along with us. So this goes out to Thugger. Thanks for coming to the show. I'm one of your hosts. I don't even know if I introduced myself last episode. I'm Jeff Chalks Fox. Usually I make chalky picks, but I've been hitting a lot of dogs recently, so we may have to come up with a new nickname. We'll see. The man I'm about to introduce, he's never shy about hitting dogs. He mentioned that last episode. It's one and only Gumby Vreeland. Daniel Gumby Vreeland.
You
and got, then underdogs picks.
You got five in the last two UFC cards, which is pretty damn good.
Yeah, I know.
And yeah. Also, speaking of pretty good, we had a pretty good regional MMA week last week.
There you go. You're setting yourself up. Perfect.
Yeah,
I'll just sit back and relax. Go ahead.
You just sit back and relax. We went 2-1 in LFA because two of the fights that we broke down got canceled. But that one included when we broke it down, it was a +160 dog in Marcio Barbosa, who got a first round knockout. But by the time the fight had rolled around, he was like 200 plus 200 or so. And a couple of guys in the Discord who are watching the LFA fights. By the way, it's a great time, not just during UFC fights, but it's during LFA, CFFC, all the organizations we're going to talk about. But a couple of guys had gotten in on Barbosa by knockout, which was plus 300, and he got it done. So that was a big one for us. And then we hit the main event. Rose Conceio beat Elaine Gomes. That was a pretty sizable favorite. So all said and done, 2-1 brings me up to $104 and 56 on the year. So a pretty high win percentage. And if you had blindly bet $100 on every fight, you would have picked up $100 this weekend, $100.82, and brought the year total to $1,700.
Wow, Gumby is killing it. And yes, the Discord was jumping for LFA. We got so many sickos. They watch regional MMA from Brazil. And that's, I guess, LFA's high level. But they will watch and talk about anything in there. So, and even when people disagree, everyone's respectful in there, which is a rare thing. On the internet.
So,
yes, on the internet. So definitely get in the Discord if you're not already. Don't be shy. Pop in and say hi. Tell us you're a newcomer and we will have some fun in there. So we're going to have fun this episode because, as Gumby just laid out, he is very good at picking regional fights. And we've got, as I said last episode, a buffet of regional fights. We didn't want to, or Gumby, I let Gumby decide what we're going to cover because, except when Bellator is running, then I insist he does Bellator. That's another story. No Bellator this week. So he's picked three events that are the top events of the weekend. He's got a couple nice picks from each event. So we'll give you a smorgasbord of stuff because, like I said, our listeners like pretty much any kind of MMA that they can bet on. So we will get to all of that in 1 second after I tell you about Circa, of course, Circa Sports. Circa Millions and Circa Survivor are back. That means $14 million in guaranteed prizes are up for grabs. Gumby's going to buy. You could probably buy everyone tickets to UFC Boston if you win that much, Dan. Or no, at least
have you seen the UFC Boston price?
price it's point? True. I have heard. Circa Millions is what you got to do to win that. You got to pick five NFL picks against the spread each week. Circa Survivor, you just pick a different Moneyline winner each week, like a normal Survivor game there. You enter in Vegas, play from anywhere. Sports Gambling Podcast will be out there the last week in August. More info, go to circasports.com for all of the deets. That's C-I-R-C-A sports.com. And make sure you pick the Dallas Cowboys in week one, according to Gumby. He wants them to beat our boss, Kramer's beloved New York Giants. So that's what we got there. We don't have any odds for this weekend, do we, Dan? Which I do see some here.
Oh, I have not seen any.
KSW odds have shown up.
Oh, that's good news. I haven't seen any.
All right. We're going to start with CFFC 121. How about you tell people a little bit why you picked this card while I jot down some odds quickly?
So CFFC has been one of those organizations that keeps giving us UFC talent. And I looked up and down the card because I was excited for a CFFC card because, you know, we do a lot of Bellator, PFL, stuff like that. Coming up, starting next month, we'll just do Contender Series every single Sunday for these episodes and whatnot. And so I saw a CFFC card and I was like, oh, I wonder what's going on there. And the top two fights were really solid. The rest of the card, not solid, but just like a lot of newcomers and stuff that's like, I don't know, maybe not that it's less fun to bet on, but there's just not a lot of information out there. But the top two are really high level fighters. So then I kicked it over to KSW. Same thing. KSW is a little deeper top to bottom, but like outside of the top two fights, there were a couple of blowout fights that I wasn't really excited about, and people who were going to win by a million, and you know, like just not super exciting. And then I looked at it, Fury FC, and said the same thing. A couple of guys on the top that are kind of fun fights, and after that, not so much. So I was like, why not just do two from every one?
And I think he picked the one KSW fight because these fighters don't have any vowels in their last name, apparently. So he's going to enjoy me trying to pronounce them.
You've failed on saying Sebastian Prisbez, before.
You just said it. Thanks. And then Fury is, I just read an article about them fairly recently. They're the up and coming, regional promotion. Are they not?
Yeah.
Not the famous, but the newcomers to the ball that seem to be gaining some steam here.
I think what they're doing that's really smart is they just have fight cards on Sundays a lot. Yep. Which this one's on Sundays, and not just on Sundays, but a lot of times it's like Sunday at like noon. This one's at 5:30 at night, but sometimes it's like Sunday at noon. Which, by the way, like, if you've just stayed up late and maybe had a couple of adult sodas, like, the Sunday noon card is just, like, a very nice thing to have as you're sitting on the couch.
Yep. Yep, there you go. But first, we shall start with CFFC. CFFC 121, Perez versus Vassal. This is going down Friday, the 14th, 7 p.m. Eastern. UFC Fight Pass is going from down in the Horseshoe Casino and Hotel in Tunica, Mississippi. Ever been there, Daniel?
I have been in Tunica, Mississippi.
Oh, yeah. Any stories behind that or not?
No, you just forgot that I lived in the South for a little while.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. I wasn't sure if you've been to Tunica though. Do anything interesting?
I mean, there's just a casino in Tunica. There isn't much else in Tunica.
Yes. Have you been in the Horseshoe Casino and Hotel?
I don't know that I have, but I know I've been through Tunica.
Okay. Good enough. I guess you're probably young. You probably weren't able to go into casinos back in those days. So
I don't think anybody would stop you in Mississippi.
It's true. It is Mississippi. It's true. All right. We don't have any odds here. So Gummy's going to do predict the odds. And then when the real odds drop, we will be discussing it in the Discord. And usually Gummy's pretty close, but when he's not close, that's when there is money to be made, extra money to be made. All right. We're going to start off with the co-main event, Raheem Forrest versus Treston Vines. A couple of good names, Raheem Forrest, Treston Vines. 3 5-minute rounds at 170 pounds. Vines is 6-2 with 4 knockouts. He's been knocked out twice, so he's been finished in both of his losses. This is his CFFC debut, and he's gone loss, win, loss, win over his last 4 fights. He's going up against Rambo Forrest. 6-1, 3 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been submitted 1 time, so he's been stopped in his only loss as well. 3-1 in CFFC. That loss did come in his last fight. He used to be the champion of welterweight at CFFC, and he's a year younger than Vines.
Yeah, that loss came to our good friend Chuck Buffalo too.
Charlie Radke.
Yeah. Who I think just got signed by the UFC, but regardless.
Yeah, he did.
So I think here, if I'm looking at this with the objective eye, I think Raheem Forrest, big favorite, probably like 250, negative 250 for Raheem Forrest. And I'm going to take him at that price. He's probably a really good parlay piece if you're trying to, you know, you see a bunch of these, like, you know, low-level guys on the early part of the card and you see some big favorites and you want to play one of them and you just need a partner for a parlay. Raheem Forrest is a good one because if you're looking at Vines's, you know, his past fights, he's just kind of like a muscly wrestler. He's like one of those guys who gets, you know, a hold of somebody and just kind of tries to slam them from anywhere. He's very high energy. But the biggest issue for me is that just like, he's got no defense on the feet. You know, you mentioned he's been finished in both of his losses. It's because he just like leans forward, chin out. Cause his striking is mostly just to like get a hold of somebody. So he's like blitzing forward, and Forrest, like he does a little bit of the muscly wrestling too. Like that kind of cost him against Chuck Buffalo. But like when he throws big, he's a little bit more nuanced on the feet. And he's like got a few stance switches and kicks. And I kind of wish he just like used the kicks more anyway. So I think Forrest is a way better fighter here. I think he's probably going to knock him out because he's got the hands and all that kind of stuff. Negative 250, great parlay piece. Anything below that, fun to play straight up.
All right, there you go. We are going to the main event now for the Cage Fury FC Featherweight Championship. Jose Perez versus Chris Vassell. I'll tell you about the challenger first. Bad Apple Vassell, 6-3 with 4 knockouts. He's been knocked out himself twice, 3-2 in CFFC. He's gone loss, win, loss, win over his last 4. He won his last fight via knockout. Perez, the champ, 7-1 with 4 submissions. He's been knocked out once, 6-1 in CFFC. Like I said, he's the champion of the world. He's won 3 straight fights, the last one via submission, and he's 3 inches taller than Vassell. I don't have any reach info for any of these guys. Usually it's hard to get on the regional scene. So that's all I got.
So I think Perez is going to come into this fight massive favorite. All that I hear, in addition to him being 7-1 versus a 6-3 guy, all I hear out there is about how great Perez is. And, you know, like most of the prospect pundits are really playing him up. I think he's going to be like a negative 350 ish favorite. And you're going to get like a plus 300, 325 return on Vassell. And I really think that's a great spot to pick a big underdog and go Vassell. Because if you look at Perez, here's what I will say about him. He does everything fundamentally fine while he's striking. Got a jab, throws some combos, feints enough, throws a 1-2. But there's just really like, nothing that sticks out about him. You know, like it's a little on the slow side on the feed and he kind of, you know, plods a little bit, but they're like, it's fundamentally right. Like he's not doing anything wrong. And in all of his fights that I've seen, he kind of tends to like wait towards the end of the round to shoot a takedown. Like he's just trying to punctuate a round. Like he's not actually trying to use his wrestling. His grappling is his best piece, but part of what I like about Vassell in this fight is I actually think Vassell is a little bit better of a wrestler. When he shoots a takedown, he like runs through his attempts. Like he does a good job, like pushing through and changing angles and doing the things you're supposed to do to finish. He does muscle a little bit in the clinch, but I think that that's actually going to play well against Perez, since Perez is like a guy who, you know, doesn't shoot very many takedowns and only does for like a real brief moment. So he wouldn't have to defend for an extended period of time. So just like a little muscle might possibly work. And I actually think he's a little bit faster on the feet. He's clearly got a Thai background because he does like that Thai step where he picks up his foot and stomps it. Like he's trying to check a kick or whatever. He blitzes a little bit in maybe not the most fundamentally, but I do think he's way faster than Perez. So, you know, faster can probably stop the takedowns. Looks like he has a striking background versus a guy who, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I just don't think there's much to write home about Perez. I think he does the little things right, but at plus, you know, like I said, I think you're going to get plus 300 here on Vassal. I think the play's worth it.
All right, there you go. Big dog to end off things at CFFC. We're going to move over to Poland. I assume the event's in Poland. Usually they are. KSW 84, DeFries versus, is it Bajor? Bayor?
I think it's Bayor.
Bayor would make probably make more sense. This is happening Saturday. So we're, like I said, we're giving you Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Lots of fun. Saturday the 15th, 1 p.m. Eastern. So you can watch this before the UFC. Oh, do you know what time the UFC is this weekend?
I think it's had it or not. I think it's 4 p.m. if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. So you can maybe watch, this may be a better event to watch. We'll see. this is on the internet pay-per-view through the KSW website. You want to tell everyone what KSW stands for, Dan?
It basically means combat.
Nope. I want you to say it.
Oh, it's Konfrontacja Suska Waki.
Look at this guy. It's true. And it's going down in Gdynia, Poland, in the Polsat Plus Arena. 10 fights. We're going to give you the top two. What were you going to translate it as? Is this confrontation or combat?
It's confrontation fight organization, basically, I think.
There you go. And I do have odds for this, so I will not tell you them until Gumby guesses. Co-main event, we're going to start with Islam Djabrala. Hang on. Djabralov is his name, correct?
Djabralov. Yeah, you got to write that second one. Djabralov.
Sebastian Prisbiz. This is 3 5-minute rounds at a bantam weight. All right. Prisbiz, nickname Sebik or Sebich. He's 11-3, 5 knockouts, 3 submissions, never been finished in a fight, 8-2 in KSW. He's gone 7-1 over his last 8 fights, but did lose his last fight via TKO, and he is the former champion. Was that a championship fight, his last fight?
I believe so. I'd have to look it up. I don't know off the top of my head.
Djabralov.
Two fights ago, he lost his belt. Okay. It was against Wyklasz. Jakob Wyklasz.
All right. Now he's fighting Djabralov. He's 9-4, 2 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been submitted 3 times. This is KSW debut. He's won 3 straight fights and 4 of 6, and is a regional champion. Gumby, the odds.
So I think Sebastian Prisby is probably going to be a massive favorite. Let's say -350.
Worse, -500.
Oof. Yeah, and justified. I will just come out and say that's justified. The problem with Djabralov, he's just like a little bit hesitant on the feet. He's got decent counter lefts, but like, I want to say that this is a guy who really relies on his wrestling. But if you go back and you watch a lot of his fights, a lot of the fighters he's fighting, like, seem to want to be on the ground and just give him takedowns. He fought for We Love MMA.
Yes, a lot of fights there, I think, too.
His last 3 came from We Love MMA, and he fought really bad competition. Guys who were just giving him takedowns. And like, if you go back and you watch some of his losses, like, he gets guillotine choked a lot. And also, like, it just seems like he doesn't have the ability to close distance. And Prisbiz, for those of you who haven't seen, he fights super long. He's like a very, very, very long dude, but also he fights long, uses kicks, he punches really long. He kind of like slingshots this counter punch. It's almost like a shovel counter, which is probably, you know, in terms of fundamentals, not great, but it's good enough, right? And it's good enough to beat this guy. I also just think in general, you're going to see Djabralov try to shoot a bunch of takedowns from way too far away, fail miserably. I wouldn't be surprised if he got guillotined. I will say at -500, I don't know that I want to play Prisbiz or even squeeze him in a parlay. Like I said, I thought he should be like -350. I don't know. Maybe this is a pass one, or maybe you just look for a finish prop if your book's crazy enough to offer him.
All right. Sadly, he didn't pick an underdog, but we are brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Best of all, Mania 4 is here, and Underdog Fantasy is giving away $15 million in prizes. Underdog Pick'em is also a great way to get down on your favorite MLB and NFL season player props. So many ways to win over on Underdog, and Underdog is available in so many states. Head over to underdogfantasy.com and use promo code SGPN for a 100% deposit bonus up to $100. That's underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, let's get to the main event. It's for the big boy belt. This is KSW Heavyweight Championship. The champion, Phil DeFreeze, versus the challenger, Simon Bayor, we decided, right? It's probably Simon, too, isn't it? Even though there's a Z in there, it's probably Simon
Bayor. I think it's Simon. Right? Yeah, sure.
Five-minute rounds for the heavyweight strap. Bayor is the challenger. We will tell you about him first. 24-9, 10 knockouts, 10 submissions, so very well-rounded finisher. But knocked out 3 times, submitted twice, 2-1 in KSW. He's won 4 straight and 7 of 8. He's not lost a fight since June of 2020, was a regional champion. 2010 was his pro MMA debut, 2 years younger than DeFreeze. DeFreeze, 23-6, 6 knockouts, 13 submissions. He's been knocked out 5 times, almost all of his losses except one came via knockout. 9-0 at KSW. He's defended his belt 8 times successfully already. He's won 11 straight fights in 12 of 13. His last loss was April of 2017. He's finished 5 straight fights. You may recognize his name from the UFC. He went 2-3 in the UFC, 1-0 in Bellator, 2009 pro MMA debut. Based on their last weigh-ins, he was 29 pounds heavier than Bayer. He's 2 inches taller, 4 inches of reach. All right, break it down. Odds so, first.
DeFreeze, let's say negative 400.
We got another negative 500 fighter.
Yeah, it's not terribly surprising because Bayer is... He's like a speed first heavyweight because he is a smaller guy. He's only like 235, I think he weighs in usually at, whereas DeFreeze maxes out the weight class or damn near close. He might be like 250, 255. And like the thing I noticed about Bayor is despite being a speed first heavyweight, is he like really flails with his hands a lot when he's pressured. Like the pressure really gets to him. Like he doesn't know how to deal with somebody who comes in quick. And also, being that he's a speed first guy, he tires really quickly, which is also not great when speed is your thing. So like DeFreeze is a nightmare matchup for a dude who flails with pressure and tires quickly because he's really good at putting pressure on people and tiring them out. He's got a very smart, grueling top game. He's fast enough on the feet to close the distance. I actually think he's a better striker here, despite the fact that, like I said, his Bayor is like, you know, tries to be fast or whatever. But yeah, the pick is, and maybe it was bad that we picked 2 -500 fights in, KSW. I thought they were going to be a little closer. You could probably parlay those two together and not worry all too much about it though.
Don't say we. I didn't pick these fights, Dan. All right.
I'm not that's true.
Any responsibility here. as per usual.
You don't ever take any response. Yeah, that's exactly that's spot on.
All right. So that is the KSW. Now we're going off to Texas on Sunday. So it's a world tour. Mississippi, to Poland, and now we're going to Texas for Fury FC 81, I think it is. Let's see here. Yep. Yes, it is. Rojo versus Lynn Harris. This is, as I said, Sunday, this coming Sunday. So this won't get in the way of the UFC or anything like that. Sunday night, 5:30 p.m. Eastern time, UFC Fight Pass, Fury FC 81. Let me see. The Boeing Center at Tech Port in San Antonio, Texas. Ever been there, Dan?
Nope.
Okay. Always have to check these things. All right. Fury FC, we're going to break down the top two fights here as well, starting with the co-main event, Zach Borrego versus Adam Vigil. 3 5-minute rounds.
The Hill.
Eagle.
The Hill.
The Hill, really?
Yeah, you say it like it's an H.
All right. He should be an H then, should it not?
You know, you would think.
He's American. Spell your name right, you Americans. All right. This is middleweight. 3 5-minute rounds. The Hill. I don't have odds here, so we're not going to play any games. V Hill 6-1 with 4 knockouts. He's been knocked out once. This is his Fury FC debut. He's won 2 straight fights, both via TKO / knockout. He's a regional champ, or was. He used to fight at lightweight and used to fight at light heavyweight. That's not a misspeak by me. I double check these things. So he fought 155 and 205 pounds. Borrego, the Dragon, 4-2 with 3 knockouts. He's been submitted once, 4-1 in Fury FC. 0-1 in the Contender Series. Who'd he fight, Dan?
Bo Nickel.
He did. He fought No Bickle, is true. Loss, win, loss is what he's gone over his last 3. 7 years younger than V Hill, 1 inch taller, 5 inches of reach advantage.
So I think this is going to be pretty close to even money when it comes in. I will say, ultimately, I think Borrego is going to get a slight bump from being on Contender Series. And also, I want to say he was on Dana White's Looking for a Fight, too. So he's going to have even a little bit more rub to him. I think you're probably going to see Zach Borrego come in negative 130. And you might get a return over on V-Hill at like plus 120. And I'm going to go dog here. Because for me, Borrego eats a lot of jabs. His striking is really nothing to write home about. That's why he's a 4-2 quote unquote prospect. And granted, one of the losses was to Bo Nickel, but as they've moved him up the rankings, his last loss to LaJuan Davis, I mean, like, he ate a lot of jabs in that fight too. And also just like, it seems like he isn't ready to commit to anything. Like, he's hesitant after being punched in the head really hard by Bo Nickel, and getting rear naked choked in no time. Now he's like worried that that's going to keep happening. So he looks hesitant, and V-Hill is nothing if not hesitant. Like, the dude wants to throw the biggest bombs you've ever seen all the time. And maybe that's not the best path to being, you know, a future UFC fighter, but like at the time it's like working, and against somebody like Zach Borrego, I think it's working. And if it gives you, you know, any plus number, if he comes in here at plus money or even like a pick him at negative 110, I think he's worth playing, because he's the last dude he beat. He like slept that dude in LFA. So, yeah, I like V-Hill here.
So you're saying Bo Nickel broke this man? Is that what you're saying? He broke Zach Borrego.
He looked more confident before he fought Bo Nickel, for sure.
Well, Bo Nickel will do that to a guy, I guess. All right, let's go to our main event, shall we? We shall. This is featherweights. 3 5-minute rounds. Marcelo Rojo versus Mikey. Is it Mikey? Mackie?
I don't actually know.
M-A-I-K-E. Mikey Lynn Harris. Mike could be. Mike Lynn Harris. Funny. All right. Lynn Harris, 17-3, 6 knockouts, 6 submissions, never been finished in a fight. This is his CFFC debut. He's won 4 straight fights in 8 of 9. He's not lost since January of 2018. However, he's not fought since July of 2022. I think it was the end of July, so a little less than a year. Multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. He used to fight down at bantamweight, 2012 pro MMA debut. And he's 5 years younger than Rojo. Pitbull. What an original nickname for Rojo. 17-9, 9 knockouts, 6 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted 5 times. 1-0 in Fury FC. He's only won 1 of his last 4 fights. He won his last fight via knockout, but he had lost 3 straight before that because all those 3 were in the UFC. He went 0-3 in the UFC. 2-1 in the Ultimate Fighter. Used to fight down at bantamweight and up at lightweight, and he's been around MMA professionally since 2011.
So I think Linares is going to be a favorite, despite the fact that Rojo's got the name. He's 17-3. Rojo went 0-3 in the UFC. He does have that name, being that he was in the UFC. So I think, while if this was just a regular Fury FC fight and you gave me these 2 records and resumes and performances and whatnot, I think you'd probably say Linares is a huge favorite. And then when you add in the UFC factor, the number comes a lot closer. So I'm going to say Linares probably like -150, Rojo +135. And I'm going to go dog hair again with Rojo.
All right.
Because I think that, you know, when I've watched Linares, he kind of like lives on his low kick. He throws it. You know, when there's the feeling out process in the beginning of the fight and somebody throws a jab and they dance for 20 minutes and then they throw a straight right to see if they know the range and then they throw a leg kick. He just throws a leg kick like 31 times in a row sometimes to start a fight. And I think with the aggression of Rojo, I think he's just going to eat 2 or 3 of those and counter with like big hooks over the top. Right. Because that was his thing in the UFC. It's not like he had boring fights in the UFC. Right. He got finished 3 times. But he got finished 3 times by 3 guys who are pretty damn good. And he had exciting-ass fights with all 3 of them. Charles Jourdain, Kyler Phillips, Francis Marshall. And since then, I mean, he just, like, bit down on his mouthpiece and knocked out Angel Cruz, which was in a Fury FC fight as well. I think Rojo is the type of guy who is going to just wade through some of the bullshit that Linares does early. And also, even when Linares tries to, like, let go of his punches, they're really wide, and I just don't have very much confidence in them. So, if Rojo comes in here as an underdog, give me that for sure. If he comes in, it starts to come close to even, or if he comes in as a favorite, especially if he comes in as a favorite, like the UFC name just buoys him. I just stay away from this fight. If he comes in a dog or close to even money, he's playable.
Bubba Booey, Bubba Booey, Bubba Booey. Is that what you said?
Yeah, that's what I said. Also, Cody Steele is on this prelim card. Throw him in some parlays. Cody, that dude's a beast.
Superhero type name. All right, let's recap before we get out of here. CFFC, he has got Vassal as hopefully a big underdog and Forrest as probably a fairly big favorite. KSW, he has got 2 big favorites here, DeFries and Prizbiz. I already forgot. Prizzy Busy would be a funner name to say it. And then Fury, he has got Rojo, hopefully, as a dog, and another dog, Vigil, hopefully, as a dog. So, them's are the man's picks. We shall be chatting about all these events in our Discord, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. So, get in there and chat with us. Don't be shy. Twitter would be SGP and MMA. Gumby Vreeland and Jeff Fox Writer are all the handles. Instagram, I'm Jeff_Fox_Writer. My Substack is moneymma.substack.com. Get all my mixed martial arts, MMA writing in your inbox every day and enter my free pick'em contest every week. Get more Gumby in your ears and less Jeff in your ears by listening to the Top Turtle podcast every week and get all good sports gambling stuff in your eyeballs and ears at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. And we shall return on Wednesday with a UFC fight night extravaganza. We're going to do all the prelim picks on Wednesday and the main card picks on Thursday. Gumby, bid everyone farewell.
I'm David Gumby Freeland. He's the Bad Apple Jeff Fox, and we will see you on Wednesday.